Jason, the Bears season is over, but they got there in about the most unbelievable way possible. We'll break it all down coming up on Hallis Intrigue. Hi, I'm Patrick Finley. He's Jason Leisure. Jason, we're sitting in the Bears press box, I don't know, an hour or so after their game against the Rams ended, and it ended in overtime with a 20-17 loss. The Bears needed a miracle just to force overtime, and as has been the case all season long, they got it. But before we break that down, what are your thoughts on just this wild roller coaster just coming to an end?
Well, it came to an end, I mean, perfectly, really, fittingly, I should say. It was just a complete frenzy at the end. And they were, of course, up against a team that's better than them, that was favored to win here in Chicago, that is the number one offense in the NFL, has a championship coach, a championship quarterback. The two have done it before. Best coach in the game, Sean McVay, best quarterback, best player this year in the league, Matt Stafford. And through all of that, the Bears are somehow in it, which is kind of the story of their season. They're just constantly in games, no matter how bad it looks going in or how bad it gets during. They are always in it. And the play that everybody will remember is one that doesn't end up winning them the game. It forces overtime. It's this pass by Caleb Williams that went... They snapped the ball 4th and 4 at the Rams 49. Is it 27 seconds left at that time or something like that? Or a minute something?
No, they snapped it at the 14.
What did I say?
The 29. 4th and 4.
No, I'm trying to figure out how much time was left. They were at the 14... They were at the Rams 4th and 4 at the 14.
Like,
I don't know if I misspoke or not. It's late. And so they're 14 yards from the end zone, and Caleb Williams is in trouble right away, but this is it. I mean, if you can't find a way into the end zone from here, the season is over. So he turns around into a full-on sprint for 10 yards. There's 10 yards of at least of this scramble where he has his back 180 degrees. He is completely 180 degrees from the play downfield. And then he turns around at the 40, Pat. We're looking down at this right now. Look at the 14. Look at the 40. I mean, that's an insane... And you would only do that with your season on the line. Any other time, you'd be looking to just throw that ball away or just take the sack. He turns around, and he's got Cole Kmet open in the back left corner of the end zone. And just puts the off his back foot from the 40-yard line, puts it exactly where it needs to be. NFL Next Gen tracks that ball at 51 yards through the air, backpedaling, to tie the game. Well, to put it 17-16, I should say. And then the Bears had this decision of whether or not to go for two. Ben Johnson goes for the kick, ties the game. They go to overtime. I know you were... really dialed in on that decision. We were sitting up next to each other in the press box, and I think you were leaning before they ever even got down to the end zone that you would be going for it in that situation, right?
Yeah.
You would be.
I would be. Ben Johnson said after the game that he just didn't like the way they'd been on short yardage situations, which they were four for six on 3rd and 1 on Sunday night, and they were 1 for 2 on 4th and 1. So those aren't odds that you're comfortable with. I would have in a vacuum gone for it. But Jason, I think that that play was so ridiculous. And the Bears were out of timeouts. They couldn't stop and collect themselves. That I don't know whether you could get everybody to refocus in the 40 seconds you've got to run the perfect play to win the game.
The Rams might have that problem too.
Yeah, well, kind they might
gathering themselves,
and maybe the Rams would take a timeout to talk about it. But the idea of, oh my God, one of the great plays any of us, or I know I've ever seen, it is over, and now okay, let's dial up a slant pass for whoever. I think that would have been really hard. I also think that Colson Loveland, who has been the Bears' best red zone weapon this season, he's out with a concussion. So that option's not there for you. So I think I'm okay with it. I can't I mean, everybody. I mean, if you're listening to this, you saw the play. But I'm, you know,
the throw to Komet.
The throw to Komet, you know, and we're.
Komet said it was an easy catch. He said it was like just a little pop fly.
He said pop fly to center field. Is what he said. And the fact that the DB in front of him, forgive me, he was the guy who intercepted
Durant.
Kobe Durant, just sat there. You said that Komet was open, and he was, but he had Kobe Durant standing right in front of him. And Durant just sat there and watched the ball fly over his head. He was probably shocked that Caleb even had the ability to get it there.
Caleb liked that throw. I don't know if he had time to see anything else, because he turns around at about the Rams 40 and just throws it off his back foot to Komet. I think that's the first and only thing he saw. But he did say that when he let it go, he liked the matchup. He liked that Durant was a smaller guy. And here's Komet. I mean, this giant 6'4", 6'5", tight end that if he just gets it there, that is a chance. Now, he didn't just get it there. He got it all the way there. This wasn't a Hail Mary at all. I mean, this was on the money. And Ben Johnson said afterward that play was, quote, ridiculous. He said that we spent all week talking about the 4th-and-8 throw from Caleb Williams to Rome Odunze against the Packers in the wild card round, and this was on another level. To turn around and throw that 51 yards through the air and with the game on the line was incredible. Now, Pat, this is let's step out of Sunday. Let's zoom out a little bit from that playoff game. This is really the conversation with Caleb Williams right now. Is he makes throws, and I don't know when the last time this was true for a Bears quarterback. I really don't know who it would be. He makes throws that other quarterbacks in the NFL, other good quarterbacks, cannot make. They just can't.
Jay Cutler did that.
No, nobody's making those throws.
Jay Cutler, you would hear back when I covered Jay, people would come to practice who covered other teams or national people, and they'd sit there and they'd watch him just warm up on a practice field and go, I've never seen a ball thrown that hard before. And he did things that nobody could do, but not like this.
This is a different style of doing things no one else can do. Caleb, and so you are looking at boxes to check for Caleb Williams to be your franchise quarterback, and you can firmly check the box of clutch. This guy, with all these comebacks this year, finally given a real chance in a real offense with a real coach, not having... I mean, he might have had this reputation last year if he'd had better coaching. The Washington game, the easy thing to forget is that he gave him the lead right before that drive where Jaden Daniels throws the Fail Mary. Clutch, yes. Makes jaw-dropping, spectacular, one-of-a-kind plays that, like, highest degree of difficulty throws that other people in the league can't check. Throwing accuracy? You know, footwork? There's some work to do there. He makes half-court shots, but he's not always making his layups. And I think that is something Ben Johnson can work with.
Do you think so? It's
yeah, I think Ben Johnson can get that where it can help him get that where it needs to be. And Caleb Williams wouldn't disagree. If we had him on as a guest, that'd be shocking if we were able to get him in the aftermath of a playoff game at 11 o'clock at night. But if he was here right now, I assure you he would agree that he's got a list of things to work on. And he mentioned two of them in postgame, Pat, his footwork and his accuracy, the two things I just mentioned. He's on that. He knows that that is something that needs to improve, that he's got all this high-level stuff, but he doesn't have all the basics underneath it. That's where he needs some work. Ben Johnson specializes in that. Caleb is doing the things that cannot be coached. Ben Johnson has expertise for the things that can be.
I've been here for 13 seasons, so I can only speak with real authority for those. But I can't imagine the Bears have ever felt better about their quarterback going into an offseason than they do right this second. I can't. At what point in the history of this franchise have you seen play like that?
You know this is headed up.
Yeah.
I mean, this is year one of him and Ben Johnson.
But that's...
After a chaotic, totally mismanaged rookie year, this is year one and this is what you've got.
But this, and that's going to be the great discussion point for the next couple of weeks here is, you know, and I believe this coming in, I thought that they could lose by 30 and this season would still be a tremendous success.
Yeah, I agree.
Yes, and... now it's, you know, and Cole Kmet talked about this after the game. I thought it was really interesting, especially, you know, 10, 15 minutes after the game ended, somebody tried to lead him with a question about how well positioned the Bears are going forward. And Cole said, you know, yeah, but you kind of, you got to grab this opportunity while you can. And he said, we won our division, but we went 2-4 in our division. And I would add parenthetically that they were an onside kick away from going 1-5 in their division. Those teams are going to be better next year. Caleb Williams hasn't missed a down because of his health in 2 years. To expect that to continue, maybe it does. Be great if it would. But, you know, to expect that, it might not happen next year. The Bears are not going to be in a position to be, you know, 5 quarters away from the Super Bowl every year. And they were tonight. And I think while we take the broad view of things are on the up and on the rise and they're in a really good spot, I do think we need to acknowledge that they had an opportunity today in real time to do something that nobody from this franchise had done in 15 years.
Yeah.
And they were 2 yards away if they decided to go for it on for the 2-point conversion. They also have, you know, the chance in overtime to march down the field and score. And Caleb Williams, you know, leads, scrambles for a first down in overtime and then runs quarterback sneak, I think on 4th-and-1, right, in overtime. Then winds up throwing a deep crosser to DJ Moore that Caleb said didn't work because of a miscommunication. And he essentially thought that DJ would flatten the route out toward the right sideline. DJ kind of took it more out and up. And it was a pretty easy interception by Cam Curl, their safety. By the way, Curl is a great name for a safety.
It would be a better name for a receiver.
Yeah, but you know, you play the Curl routes, maybe more so if you're a corner. But they had a chance in overtime to go get it. And Caleb threw his third interception of the game. Caleb is now, he threw 5 interceptions in 2 playoff games. That's one of the things that they're going to need to fix. What did he throw in the regular season? 6? 7?
Yeah, I think it was. He'd never thrown 3 in a game before the Rams game.
No, and you know, I'm sure that that will provide reason for debate and for, okay, well, he's got to fix this. But, boy, this is the Bears' season. This is Caleb in a nutshell. He does some things that are maddening. He does some things that just are inaccurate. And then he does something that you've never seen before. And you go, my God, who in the world wouldn't want this guy as their quarterback?
Yeah.
And I think that's where the Bears are right now. I do want to bring it back a little bit toward the game. Defensively, the Bears were really good, weren't they?
That was shocking to me. And Ben Johnson said that's the real shame of this game is that our defense was so good. I didn't think, unless the weather was prohibitive, which there were snow flurries throughout, which was not in the forecast.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it was prohibitive. I don't think the wind was so insane or the snow was so insane that it made it impossible to pass. And in fact, Sean McVay couldn't pass enough. It seemed like all he was doing was passing against Bears defense that had really struggled against the run. I'm surprised that they weren't running Kyren Williams more. I thought that barring insane weather, the Bears were going to have a hard time keeping them under 35 or 40 points.
Mm-hmm.
That the Bears' only path here was going to be to score on basically every possession and win a shootout against the Rams, who also have a very good defense, a top 10 defense. Not the case, man. Here's our knock on them. Here, if you are new to this, like, here's how I sum up the Bears' defense to people, and I'm guessing you'll agree with this. They are not good at the two basic things you need to be good at all the time, which is rushing the passer consistently, stopping the run consistently. Those are the two most important things. They're not good at them. They are frequently bad at them, and then offset that with takeaways. They make incredible takeaways and red zone stops that erase them being bad for 12 plays in a row at rushing the passer and stopping the run. And you sit there and say, well, if they don't get those takeaways, then they're just going to get steamrolled against any good offense. Today was the opposite. Today was exactly the performance that I have been demanding of them, I guess, all season. They got to Matt Stafford. They had 4 sacks. One or two forced a fumble. At least 1 forced a fumble. 2 forced a fumble, Pat's telling me. And They were not amazing against the run, but they were fine against the run. They were absolutely fine. Kyren Williams was 4.1 yards per carry. During the season, I believe he was 4.7 or 8, somewhere in that range. I mean, they were solid against the run. They were forcing punts. They were putting pressure on Matt Stafford. And they were did not get any takeaways, did they?
No, they didn't.
None. And they were fine. That is a winning performance right there. Hold the Rams to 17 in regulation. You should win that game.
A week ago, the Bears didn't get a takeaway, and they beat the Packers. And it was the first time since Christmas, day after Christmas 2023, that they had won a game where they didn't get a takeaway.
You're talking about the wild card?
Yes, game? The wild card.
Okay, yeah. That but was, they gave up 27 in that.
Correct. But, I mean, they won the game. I thought, and I wrote about this in the paper for our preview section, I thought that the formula for them to win today was they had to take the ball away.
And I would have said the same thing.
And the fact that they didn't and still played the brand of defense that they did, I think is a real credit to them. They were really good. the longest play of the game was a 35-yard pass to Cole, pass and run, catch and run by Colby Parkinson at the start of the fourth quarter that got them down toward, you know, what was it, 35 yards, I think 2 minutes into the fourth quarter. But that's the longest play of the game, Jason. And it was just a little dump-off pass to the tight end who ran down the field. Puka Nacua had some really important plays, a third and six catch in overtime that set up the field goal, a fly sweep at the end of regulation that helped set up a touchdown. But he didn't blow them away.
Five catches for 56 yards.
And a what, one run for
six. For six? Two for six.
Yeah, you take that 100 times out of 100. Davante Adams, what did he do?
Very little. Two for 24.
Great. Great. I mean, that's...
Yeah. If I ran through some of these stats for you in advance, and I said, hey, by the way, they're going to hold Stafford to a 67 passer rating and about 50% completions. I think he was below 50%. Mm-hmm. And Nacua is going to be five catches for 56 yards. And Davante Adams is going to be mostly a non-factor. And Kyren Williams is going to run for, you know, a modest game, whatever, 4 yards per carry. I think he had 87 yards on 21 rushes. You would have sat there and said what?
Yeah, win.
Yeah, you said turnovers or not, they're going to win that game.
Right. Yeah, I think they get credit for playing. Boy, it might be their best game, Jason, and playing it against the best offense in football. Special teams-wise, the Rams are terrible, and they held up just fine. On Sunday night, Cairo Santos did his Cairo Santos thing. It was pretty even matchup all the way through. I don't know how to phrase this, but you and I both agree that this season is a success. Full stop. Is there anything that happened tonight that would keep you up late at night if you were a Bears fan? Outside of the, I mean, nobody likes to lose. I get that. But is there anything that's alarming to you?
Not to me. Not if you're being realistic.
Right.
Not if you're understanding, you know, where this should be this year. This was a team that most people optimistically thought. They thought if things go pretty well, maybe they're going to be 10-7.
Right.
Not second round of the playoffs. First playoff win in 15 years. And the quarterback throwing a 46-yard bomb to beat the Packers in overtime in the regular season. And 4th-and-8 against the Packers in the wild card round. And then the touchdown Sunday night against the Rams. I think what would keep you up at night is thinking what this team can become. I think that you look at this season. You said... and I agree with you that even if they'd got stomped by the Rams, it would do nothing to change you thinking this was a phenomenal season for the Bears. I think the fact that they played the Rams down to the very, very end really even emphasizes how much progress was made this season. I mean, they were a play away from beating the team that I think will win the Super Bowl this year.
Do you care that Ben Johnson didn't ice Harrison Meavis, the thicker kicker?
Nah. Because that's not even proven to work, is it?
No, but, you know, I don't think it's proven to work. I've always thought that if I were a coach, I'd do it just so nobody could ever say you didn't. You know what I mean? Somebody asked Mivas about this after the game. He was wearing a Missouri baseball cap, by the way, while he spoke. And he said, it was so cold out there that you didn't need to take a timeout to ice me. Which I thought was
good. It was a battle of the Missouri kicker versus the Tulane kicker. I just realized that.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Too bad we didn't have a side bet on it. Great public education by him. Is there any decision that you disagreed with? You know, Ben could have had 3 points early in the game. If you want to go for it, he could have had 3 points toward the end of the game. If you know, and let's talk about this real quick, if we can. Bears have got first and goal at the 5 with 4 minutes-ish to play.
Yeah.
After a pass to Romo Dunze and a roughing the passer on top of that. Yeah. They go run, run.
It's 3 swift runs.
Yeah, well, it's run, run to get it to 3rd and goal at the 2. They run Swift outside, and Swift tries to hurdle a dude and gets knocked down. All of a sudden, you're 4th and goal at the 2. Bears could have kicked and gone down 4, but I think most people, whether you're a analytics guy or just a dude watching the game, I think most people would have gone for it. And they do, and they call just kind of a little interior slant to Luther Burden, and the ball just gets swatted away like... Like, you know, the Rams linebacker, like, he's kind of Dikembe Mutombo, the thing. And it fell to the ground. You're okay with that Ben Johnson aggressiveness, kind of, generally?
Yeah, zero problem with the decision. It's more a red flag of the offense's inability. I'm all for them going for it on that 4th down. I think if you're in the playoffs and it's 1st and goal at the 5 and you're going to get 4 chances, a good offense gets that in. Mm-hmm. I put that more on the players than I do on Ben. I'm fine with the decision making there. Mm-hmm. I didn't understand though. I mean, is it too obvious? Why would Kyle Manungai not be your running back in that case? DeAndre Swift's had a great year, but if I'm in obvious short yardage, I want Kyle Manungai there.
Yeah, he's the short yardage back. I thought Swift looked better tonight, but I do think that in, you know, if your horse is for courses, you know, you need. The bruising running back. Question number 2, are you okay with this whole Joe Tooney switching from guard to tackle for this game, Jason?
Worked very well.
Yeah.
Joe Tooney played well and Jordan McFadden played well. I didn't like it on paper going in, but I don't know Jordan McFadden the way that Ben Johnson obviously does. I mean, Ben Johnson's had him on the practice field for a year. It was a scary idea. Joe Tooney has played left tackle before. He played it in a pinch for the Chiefs during the playoffs and in the Super Bowl last year. But so that part I'm not worried about because he was fine for the Chiefs in that spot last season and he was good tonight, Sunday night. I didn't love the idea of playing a guy that has played 2 snaps on offense all year at left guard. But to Jordan McFadden's credit, he was not noticeable. He was not a problem.
Well, and Ben explained after the game, he said that the more they watched film of Jared Verse, the more they wanted somebody who could anchor there at left tackle. He didn't need to say it, but that's, of course, a shot at Braxton Jones.
Who was inactive,
and Braxton Jones, I mean, you know, he's going to go play somewhere else next season. He's a free agent. But Braxton Jones...
I don't know if he's going to play somewhere else, well, he's not going to be here.
He's going to wear somebody else's uniform. How about that? But Jones, even when he was good, the issue that he had, and he was open talking about it, was... His inability to handle the bull rush, and we saw Jared Verse eat his lunch last year, and the Bears didn't want to put him in position to this year. Theo Benedict, who was the presumptive left tackle, going, you know.
Yeah, so the straightforward move here was Ozzie Tripillo goes down, so you move Theo Benedict up, and Braxton Jones is your swing tackle.
Yeah, that's
what... the basic... just chain of command if you're going to follow the depth chart.
Yeah, but maybe Ben just wanted him as a pass-catching tight end because they used him as an eligible receiver. Actually threw to him on one play. I think Caleb Williams needed to consider who his pass catcher was because he rifled the ball that went through his hands and I think hit him in the face mask and fell incomplete. Wouldn't have really mattered outside of, I think, the Wiener Circle would have bought everybody hot dogs.
I think the Bears had to win for that to cash.
Or did they have to? Did a big guy have to score?
I think it had to be a touchdown, too. I don't think Theo was going to rumble in from the 40 or wherever that was. But I know you were happy that the ball went to him because every time that Theo Benedict has been in as the extra tackle,
I like announcing
and
it.
They say number 79 is reported eligible. Patrick just, like, he scoots up in his chair and he kind of starts paying closer attention and he's just waiting for somehow that pass to go to Theo. I think you were yelling for it that he was open.
I said he was open. I wasn't yelling.
You were calling it out, I'm saying. You identified it and were saying he's open, he's open. Throw it to Theo.
But got a couple minutes left here, Jason. Before we go, I like to make grand statements about things just as an over-exaggeration probably. But I think the Caleb Williams touchdown today was one of the best three things I've ever seen covering a team. And, you know, of course, you know, they lost the game and all of that. But just in terms of wow plays, putting you on the spot, in your career, what's the most ridiculous? It can be a game winner. It can be something circumstantial. Or it can just be some, you know, athletic achievement.
That is tough because I've seen all. It would have to be the Devin Hester returning the opening kickoff of the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. Against the Colts. I was an intern in Miami at the time, and the game was
Oh, you were at the game?
So I covered that game.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay. I was sitting in the auxiliary press box in the rain in the end zone that he was running to.
Oh, cool.
Running into for that. But when you, if you ask me amazing plays I've seen covering the Bears in the last seven seasons, I'm probably going to... Gosh. I mean, my top... five, so maybe my top like 35 would all be Caleb Williams plays, probably, it feels like, because we saw him doing it in the preseason his rookie year. But I think that throw to DJ Moore in the Packer game, the regular season one, the 46-yard touchdown pass to walk off in overtime, that one just sticks with me.
Yeah.
And I know that the 4th-and-8 was probably a harder throw to make because of being off balance. And it's so impressive. But I think just the drama, the theater of that walk-off at Soldier Field to beat the Packers, and I know that was, to me, that's I've never felt this place like that. That's crazy.
No, and even Ben Johnson said, you know, this was a lot better than the throw to Roma Dunze, which in the moment, Jason, I don't think you and I could put a whole lot of stock in because they were losing by 10, and I think we presumed they were going to continue losing.
Yeah. This throw was weird. The one Sunday night, the touchdown, the 14-yard touchdown pass that goes 51 yards in the air to Cole Kmet. It's weird because it would never happen. Caleb would never attempt it, I don't think, in a situation other than that. Mm-hmm. Other than fourth down, game and season on the line, I don't think he would have even attempted that if it was, you know, in the second quarter, for example.
I think you made a good comparison. I think it's a lot more of a half-court shot than it is the Christian Laettner play. You know what I mean?
Yes,
it's,
yes.
Yeah,
yes.
You know, one is by design and a lot of luck. And the other is saying, "Ah, the hell with it," and throwing it up and hoping for the best. Mm-hmm. And boy, it feels weird harping on that play in a game that the Bears lost in a season that's now over. But I just do think that it so perfectly encapsulates this year, and that's not a bad thing at all.
It's so different than it's been for them in the past. There's been plenty of other times that the Bears thought they had hope. The Bears thought they had hope 7 years ago, sitting there with, you know, when they lose the game to the Eagles, they think they're just a kicker away, and they think that Mitch can be the quarterback going forward. This is so different. Caleb Williams has already shown you more than the last two guys that they drafted. Ben Johnson is running this place in a way that is so much more sustainable and better than it's ever been run. They are serious now. The Bears are serious. And I think one of the things that has really been accomplished during Ben Johnson's first season, Pat, is that the standards have been raised. Finally. Mm-hmm. Finally, there are not going to be parades for going 8-8 and sliding into the playoffs and everybody keeps their job. Or, oh, it's just great. It's just great to finally win a division once in a while.
What about handling COVID? Do we get an extra year for that?
Or there was also frequently, you know, they did a great job holding the team together through the fill-in-the-blank game losing streak.
Six, four, five.
Yeah, it could be any number any given year under any of the coaches. Ben Johnson is not allowing them to be run like that anymore. I don't think that Kevin Warren and Ryan Poles want it to be run like that anyway, and that's part of why you hire Ben Johnson. But it is clearly a higher standard here now. And I think that is so encouraging for the Bears because you look at the last place where Ben Johnson was part of that, people forget
already. They forget so fast what a joke the Lions were. The Lions were a bigger punchline than the Bears. The Lions were the Washington Generals forever. And no one remembers that anymore because they got better, then they got a little better, and then they became a perennial championship contender, and you have them in the 2025 season furious over a winning season in which they didn't make the playoffs. Dan Campbell steaming and giving himself a grade F for his job for the year. That's high standards. Halas Hall hasn't felt like that at all in my time covering them. They haven't. It does feel like that now.
I would love to, Ben, and I'd love to find out if in a quiet moment Ben looks back at those Lions experiences with, you're right, they are now in a different weight class and have been for 4 years, probably 5 years, in which they expect to win. But they've also never been to the Super Bowl. And as good as the Lions have been, and you could say probably on the whole, there are very few franchises you've wanted to be more in the 2020s than the Lions, right?
Yeah.
They've had their chances to go to the Super Bowl and have not gotten there. And I'd have to think that Ben Johnson, more than anybody, knows that you got to grab the ring while you have a chance, because you can be a really good team and just not be in this situation again. And, you know, at home in a snowstorm, hanging with the best offense in football, the chance was right there.
It's true, but if you have a top 10 coach and you have a top 10 quarterback, and they both have some proving to do. When you think of all the things you like about Ben Johnson, remember, there's a lot of other really good coaches out there. The Giants just got John Harbaugh. John Harbaugh's resume dwarfs Ben Johnson's. Sean McVay, you know, might win his second Super Bowl this year. He's still ahead of Ben Johnson. But if you have a top 10 coach and you have a top 10 quarterback, you're going to have a chance.
Yes.
Every year, you are going to have a chance. You're right that when you have your really, really good chances, you need to cash in on them. But you are going to perennially have a chance if you've got those two spots figured out. And that has eluded the Bears basically my entire life.
Bears are going to clean out their lockers on Monday, go through some exit interviews. We will talk to the Bears players on Monday, and then their leadership at some point during the week. And Jason, we will keep everybody posted on what's going on then. Until then, you can follow Jason and I on social media. Check us out at the Sun Times website and on their app. And if you live in town, go ahead and buy a paper. He's Jason Leisure. I'm Pat Finley. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back again real soon.